on the touch of Jesus. What happens to people that are touched by Jesus? It is the most wonderful thing. But don't be fooled, it isn't magic. One must be receptive to the touch of Jesus and receive it in faith. I don't want to be negative, but you know, Jesus Iscariot was touched by Jesus. Judas Iscariot was touched by Jesus. He even dipped in the same bowl with him at the Last Supper. But he never had given his heart to Jesus. He loved money more than Jesus. He cheapened the touch of Jesus. I hope none of us ever do that. Just because someone talks of Jesus or even seems to be near him doesn't mean that they have truly been touched by him. But for those who allow Jesus to touch their lives, others who seek his touch, oh hallelujah, there's nothing like the touch of the Master's hand. I remember an old song, I don't think we ever sung, but I heard it, and I'm sure many of you have heard it. The song goes on about an auction, and they bring an old violin out, and they're bidding $1, who'll give me two, $2, who'll give me three. And then an old man gets up out of the crowd and comes, and he fixes the strings and tunes the violin, and he begins to play a wonderful masterpiece on the violin, and he goes and sits down, and then the auctioneer, he goes, who'll give me 1,000? Who? I got 2,000, who'll give me three? For the touch of the Master's hand made all the difference in the world. Oh, Lord, don't you know I need a brand new touch? Hallelujah. There are many examples in your Bible of Jesus touching others. One you witnessed here last week in Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And the disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer or allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Ministers of the gospel who dedicate babies to the Lord, I believe it's very important. And we're not Jesus, but we're under the authority of Jesus. And when we take those little ones up in our arms and we pray a prayer of dedication, it means something. It does not mean that they're saved. But it means the hand of God is on them. I've never been able to find any stat on it. But I'd like to know the futures of those little children who were dedicated to the Lord by their parents and the ones who were not, and what the difference is. Jesus, what happened to those little children that he put his hand on? I guarantee you they were never the same. To have the Master's hand touch you, and when you're young like that, to have the touch of the Master's hand upon you, it is so very important. I was told that when I was 1 month old, I was dedicated to the Lord at a camp meeting. And I, throughout my life, I have felt it. You say, what? I have felt it, even as a little boy, I have felt it. When I was going to do something that would not be correct or right, something in me said, no, 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 you don't want to do that. The Master had already touched me. Friends, this nonsense that you let children determine their own future is baloney. Little children are ignorant of most of the things of this world. You need, my Bible doesn't say let your kids decide for themselves. My Bible says train them up in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. Children that had the touch of God on them, hallelujah, they're different than other kids. Hallelujah. Doesn't save them, but it gets them on the right track. Hallelujah. Jesus continues through his ministry in Luke 7, chapter 7 and verse 13. He sees a funeral procession going on. And this woman only had one son. She was a widow. And Jesus sees this. And usually in those days, you could actually pay weepers to go with you and cry for you. If you didn't have enough relatives to cry with you, you could pay them to cry. She didn't do that. She was doing all the crying herself. But Jesus sees this. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and he touched the bier or the casket right where that dead young man was. He touched it. And they that carried him or bore him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." The touch of Jesus can raise the dead. He that was dead, he that was dead, he that was dead, sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. The touch of Jesus is greater than death. Hallelujah. Jesus is undefeated. His touch is undefeated. Hallelujah. He moves on to another. You see that dead man's unclean. You're not supposed to touch anything that dead person's touching, or else you become unclean. Can I just share with you just a minute? Jesus does not care how clean or unclean you are. If you call out to him, he'll touch you. He encounters a leper, a man filled with leprosy, unclean, unable to have fellowship with people. If you get so many feet within him, he'd have to cover his face and say, "Unclean, unclean, I'm a leper, stay away from me." Become excommunicated, not because you've done something wrong, but because of the disease that you've got. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, Jesus encounters one of them. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him," can you imagine this scene? This man had heard of Jesus, and he was hoping beyond hope that there was some answer for him. And he said to Jesus, "If thou wilt, if you're willing, thou canst make me clean." Somehow he understood that the touch of Jesus was greater than leprosy. I don't know how he understood it. I don't know, but this man was so desperate to get rid of this leprosy that he fell down in front of Jesus. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched this diseased, deformed man that nobody had touched, and however long he had had leprosy, his own mother didn't touch him. His relatives didn't touch him. Certainly the priests would not touch him. But Jesus went beyond all of that, and he touched this man and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. "I will, be thou clean." I don't know if you've received good news, but that was good news to that leper. A cleansed leper. Never be the same again because the Master had touched him. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 22, Jesus comes along just outside of Jericho, a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. Mark 8, 22, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him." So this is not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is Jericho, this is Bethsaida, sorry. Some of you would have corrected me on the way out, so I thought I'd correct myself before you got busy. "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. And he asked him if he saw aught or anything. And the blind man looked up and said, I see men as trees. I don't know how we would know what trees look like either, but I see men as trees walking. And after that, this blindness was a little stubborn, and that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now we have death, we have leprosy, and blindness are subject to the touch of the Master's hand. You know what point I'm going to drive to, don't you? We'll get there eventually. This man walked away seeing clearly. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 32, he encounters a deaf man. Mark 7:32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. People who have been deaf their whole lives, it's extremely difficult for them to speak. They can only say what they think it's like because they have never heard it. And so, deaf people, that's why we've developed sign language, because you cannot understand, generally, you cannot understand a deaf person trying to speak. Many of them try to speak, they don't know what they sound like. And so it's difficult for us to understand them. And so most, especially deaf people that were born deaf or became deaf very early in their age, they're obviously going to have an impediment of their speech. You won't be able to understand them. And so there's difficulty there in communication, so on and so forth, creates a lot of frustration. So here is this guy who couldn't really speak, and he's deaf. And they bring him to Jesus, verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. No wonder he took him out behind the bar and he didn't want people seeing. I often wonder, why did Jesus make clay and put it on this guy's eyes? Why did he do this with it? Because he understands everything. He knows who the enemy is and what he has to do to defeat the enemy. And so he put his fingers into his ears, he spits and touches his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto them, whatever that word is. I've never had to pronounce a word PHPH. Ephatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. There's a couple of miracles here in that he began to hear. Now, if you've never heard before, you don't know what words sound like. But at the same time he healed his hearing, he healed his ability to understand language at the same time. And so when he spoke, everybody could understand him. Whew! I want to know this Jesus. I could go on. But the question for you and me today is, does Jesus still touch people? Does he, by the Holy Spirit, actually touch people? Put his hand on them by the Holy Spirit? I believe he does. Oh, how we need his touch. None of those people I told you about were ever again the same. And if you ever get a true touch from Jesus, you'll never be the same. I think we've got too many people wandering around that have never been touched by Jesus. They said a little prayer and thought it was nice, but they've never been touched by Jesus. We need to be touched by Jesus. When you get saved, let me clarify what I'm talking about. When you get saved, Jesus touches you. How do I know that? You're the branch, I'm the vine. The vine and the branch touch. When you get truly saved, Jesus touches you. You cannot remain the same. Your mind is different because Jesus touched you. Your body is different because Jesus has touched you. Your soul is different because Jesus touched you and your spirit comes alive. I don't want to listen to this nonsense that you're on a journey to Jesus. Nonsense. Either He's touched you or He hasn't touched you. And when He touches you, sin becomes disgusting. The old things that you used to love become a pariah to you. You don't want anything to do with it. You're struggling with something, you need to let Jesus touch that thing. You don't need as many wild friends as you had before once Jesus touches you. Hallelujah. If the 21st century people, this generation, whatever alphabet letter it is, X, Y, Z, double A, double B, whatever the case might be, I know one thing, they need the touch of Jesus. We do not need slickly choreographed services. We need a place where people can come and get touched by Jesus. We don't need another Christian celebrity. We need the touch of Jesus. We don't need another nonsense conference. We need to be touched by Jesus. Brother Jamie mentioned his dream. I've had others in this house that have had dreams of Christ coming again. And as it draws near, we need the touch of Jesus. I see men and women trying to do something, I don't know, work themselves up to something. I watched it all week long. And it was like, Lord God, we just need to be touched by You. We don't need all this other nonsense. We have believed the lie that the younger generations need an MTV event in order to attract them somehow to Jesus. Nonsense. We need a place where Jesus can touch our young people. It has nothing to do with music. It has nothing to do. If you dress a certain style, then the young people will respond to you. If you discredit Christ on the platform by wearing hats with goofy things on them, Jesus not touching people. Ooh, that's judgmental. Oh, it's the way it is. We got to have a touch of Jesus. I need a touch from Jesus. Lord, don't You know I need a brand new touch? The one from yesterday is gone. Yesterday morning, I sat on my back patio, on my outdoor studio, I call it, for our Facebook gathering. And as I read this verse, something went through me. I've read the Bible just about every day of my life. But yesterday morning when I read this scripture, God wants to do something. He's speaking to us. The old men are dreaming dreams. The young man, I felt the Spirit of God so strongly. If you go back and check, you'll hear my voice crack. Because the Spirit of God struck me yesterday morning on the back patio. And what we were reading in that is in Acts chapter 10. And as I was reading it out loud, my emotions were, I have a little bit of sorrow that goes with this, and perhaps a bit of yearning that maybe we might be touched in 2025. I know there's a lot of touched people out there, but not touched by the Master's hand.
but this swelled up within me. In Acts 10:38, Peter is preaching to the household of Cornelius. And his family and friends had gathered in a large room at his home. And as Peter came in, a Jewish man walked in to a Gentile home, because God had given Peter a vision. God works everything out, folks. He had already given Peter a vision, all right, that it's a new covenant day. It's not the old covenant anymore. It's a new covenant. And that we can go wherever we need to go and share Jesus. There's nobody outside the power of the blood of Jesus. And so this is an inaugural thing here. And as he goes into the home, he speaks with Cornelius for a second or two, and he begins to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 38 of Acts 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We need the touch of the Master to heal those that are oppressed by the devil. We literally have church filled with people who are oppressed of the devil, and nobody knows what to do with them. It's going to take something more than psychiatry to get the oppressed free from the devil. It's going to take something more than that. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, you better believe it, and showed him openly. Now, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us. He said, I'm one of them, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. If you want to know what your resurrection body will be like, study the resurrection body of Jesus. If you're worried, and I'm not worried, I already know that there will be ice cream and glory. Jesus ate and drank, and I'm going to eat and drink too. If he needs to make me the ice cream maker, I'm all for it. And he said, I had fellowship with him after he rose from the dead. This is not a myth. It's not an urban myth or just a story. It's real. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Yeah, you want this guy to touch you now. He will stand before him. Why? Because he suffered in all ways like a human being. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He knows what you're going through. You say, how can he know that? Trust me, he knows what you're going through, and he is the one that knows the proper thing to judge, how he needs to judge. Now to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And I'm amazed. Hallelujah. All my sins are washed away. Whosoever believeth in him, not what Jew believes in him or what Israeli believes in him or what Samaritan believes in, but whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And this is where verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And my heart broke. I said, will we ever see it again? Will we ever be in a place where the Holy Ghost falls? Will we ever be in a place when somebody's trying not to make a name for themselves or be popular? Will there ever be an environment at North Valley Assembly of God where the Holy Ghost falls? Now, I can tell you something. It would be only my opinion. We have some precious services here, but not like that one. I have been in my lifetime in a few places where the Holy Ghost has fallen. You cannot replicate it. You can't force it to happen. And here at Cornelius' house, they didn't even know about it yet. But what God found is what we sang about a few minutes ago. He found some dry, parched souls that were sitting on the edge of their seats, listening to a witness of the resurrected Jesus. And they had a faith. Cornelius has already primed. He had been praying, and he was ready. And God sent the man to him because Cornelius was ready and Simon Peter was ready. And when Peter began to preach about Jesus, the Holy Ghost fell at home in Cornelius. It wasn't in the temple in Jerusalem. It wasn't up in Shiloh. But it was in Cornelius' house, a Gentile, an Italian Gentile, that the Holy Ghost went. Touched every one of them. It happened in the upper room, 120. But here, the Holy Ghost. At least one more time, Lord, I'd like to be somewhere, sometime, where the Holy Ghost fell. And where all flesh was wiped out. And you didn't care what I thought. I don't care what you think. Let the Holy Ghost touch us all. Jesus got a big enough hand to touch us all at the same time. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. In our church in New York, in Akron, New York, we had it a couple of times. I can remember so vividly this one time. We're all praising the Lord. It was wonderful. And then the Holy Ghost fell and went silent. Shoot. And we were in the presence of holiness. And it was not a, it was a shaking thing. And we, I don't know if you've ever been in a large room where it remains quiet for not seconds, but for minutes. We get nervous and so forth. But the weight of the Spirit, no one dared to speak to break it. I've been in my father's church in the late 60s when the Holy Ghost fell. And now it wasn't silent. There was weeping. And there was running because they were running to the altar. The heaviness of their sin became apparent, and they could not live another moment with sin in their lives. They had to have the touch of Jesus in order to rid them of this horrible burden that was upon them. I was in a larger camp meeting when the Holy Ghost fell. And I am telling you, there was nobody pushing anybody over, but it looked like somebody had walked in with a Tommy gun and wiped people out. It was holy. There was no nonsense. You know, nonsense don't play when the Holy Ghost is fallen. People in that meeting were healed one after another. It's not because some evangelist had done something, but the presence of God had fallen upon these people. Oh, Jesus, we need your touch. To evangelize people without the touch of Jesus is useless. You might as well recruit them for the military. But when the Holy Ghost falls,
ask me the hard question. Don't ask me, why do you think the Holy Ghost has not fallen like this here? Do not ask me that question. Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lie. Don't ask me that. Because I'd have to say, because we're not prepared. We're not hungry. We're not thirsty enough. You say, oh, that's mean to say. Okay. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will do it. If you and me get right, he'll fall. He'll fall as hard as he did here in Cornelius' house. You say, how would you ever get that, a number of people in the same vein and the same... Well, listen, everybody keeps making the same mistake. Men keep trying to make people unified. Men cannot unify people. Only the Holy Ghost can unify people. We have to get a number of people that want it bad enough to say, Lord, fall in this house. If the Holy Ghost falls, sin will run out the door. Fear will not be in your mind any longer. Diseases will flee. That which has been wrong will be righted. Reconciliation will take place because we don't care what you did to me anymore because Jesus has touched me. Read verse 44 again. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word and changed everything. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, How can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Can Jesus still touch people? Well, is he the same? Is the scripture lying to us and say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is that a lie? If it is not a lie, then he can still touch people and he can touch large groups of people all at the same time. What I'm telling 21st century church, we need to get in a position so that Jesus will have compassion on us and touch us. We've had enough of the other, whatever it is. Had enough of that. Hallelujah. Set me somewhere, Lord. Several years ago, I was in a church service with a lot of ministers that were hungry for God. And I believe the Spirit fell, not as heavily here, but the wonderful Spirit came into that. And a unification, because we were not all the same fellowship or denomination at all, but a wonderful thing happened. And it seemed like the Lord just put his hand on that thing, and it was so wonderful. But can I tell you something? I thought, oh, finally, the next year it was less, and we had more booths set up in the foyer. And the next year, it was even less. And the next year, I didn't go. That's how quickly man tries to put his hands on something that God has done. We can have it here. There's no prerequisite that somebody else has to do something. We can have it. So when you bring your prodigal, you drag your prodigal in by the ear, they can feel the power of God. You say, Pastor, that wouldn't be, I don't care, they got ears, they can be drugged. And it's not that I'm longing for the good old days, but I knew in my early teenage years, if I could get somebody to church, their lives would be changed forever. They would be in an environment where the touch of God could do something. Holy Spirit of God, would you fall on us here? Would you fall on you, Lord, and me? These people here in this room, in this little room, can you fall? Let nothing be in me that would keep you from falling, Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage you today that Jesus can touch you today. August 10th, 2025, Jesus can touch you. Ask Him. Ask Him. A lot of people are afraid to ask the Lord to touch them because they think He's going to touch something that they still like that shouldn't be there. You don't get just a sideways touch. Jesus will put His hand on you. Change everything. All right. Ask Him. Seek Him. And then let Him touch you and move upon you. The biggest lie the church ever sings is, "I surrender all." Somehow, Lord, we've got to get to that point. Listen, if you need salvation today, let Jesus touch you. He will save you. If you need deliverance today, let Jesus touch you. He's your answer. If you need healing today, one touch of the Master's hand. If the Master's hand is just as strong as it was while He was walking around Galilee. He healed the blind. He healed the leper. He healed the dead. He healed the deaf. His hand is not shortened. His arm is not shortened. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost today, let Jesus touch you and fill you with the Holy Ghost and power. We don't even have to ask Him too hard because He wants to. That widow that was walking beside her son's casket did not have to beg ad nauseum, "Jesus, please come touch my son. He's all I've got in this world." She didn't hardly have to ask Him. He just looked and saw the situation and had compassion. Let me tell you, Jesus has compassion relatively easily. Call out to Him. Would you quit trying to carry your own burden and call out to the Master and let Him touch it? And you'll never be the same. Have you ever gotten bad news? If you're more than 6 years old, actually if you're more than 4 years old, you've gotten bad news. This man got bad news. He got the death sentence. His doctor, who was also a friend, looked Jim in the face and said, "Sir, the tests have come back. They're thorough. You have leukemia. We'll do what we can, but it's months, not years. It is already gone further than we thought it would be. And now you stage it, you're in a stage 4 leukemia. Your blood is not producing the right things. Your bones will begin to crack soon and you're going to die." He took the treatment that men were given to no avail. Jim had always relied on his strength, his intellect to get by. He was smart. He was an executive with the Ford Motor Company. He drove a big Lincoln. Suddenly, none of that mattered. He had been given the death sentence. But somebody told him about Jesus. Jim didn't know Jesus. But they said, "Listen, my Jesus, if He touches you, He'll make you well." Jim started to read the Bible. And this is the kind of man Jim was. It was now. He was past nonsense. He's like, "I don't want to accept Jesus just because I hope that He can heal me. I want to accept Jesus for Jesus' sake. I want to do it right. If I'm going to believe in Jesus, whether I live or die, I'm going to believe in Jesus. Just because I know I'm going to die and I don't want to go to hell. I want it to be more than that. I want it to be meaningful." There, with the Bible open on his lap, his flesh weak, Jim gave his life to the Lord. How wonderful. He repented of his sins, and guess what? Jesus forgave him. Hallelujah. So Jim was happy. He felt Jesus touched him. He didn't know how much longer he would live, but he was happy. Then somebody told Jim, "You know,
Jesus still touches people today and heals them, you might want to ask. And I'm not sure Jim actually asked. He says, well, the Lord knows. Jim was still going to work at this time, a very important time in his company. And so he's going to work that morning, pondering that very thing. And he heard a soft voice in the inner man say this to him, I will touch you and heal you. It was not an audible voice, but it felt like it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I will touch you and I will heal you. Okay, Jim got out of the car, went to work, and he got onto an elevator to go to his office. It was hard, it was exhausting for him just to get to his office. But in the elevator, Jim felt a sensation go through his body. It started at the top of his head. He said, it went all the way down through my body, all the way to my toes. When the sensation got to his toes, the weakness that he had come to live with vanished. The horrible, he had the color of death. His normal color returned to his face. In that elevator, Jesus touched Jim. Jim Fryhite was a new man. He went through most of the day filled with the Holy Ghost, full of energy. The people that worked with him just looked at him like, maybe this is the thing they talk about where you revive just before you die. And full of energy and the knowledge that the Lord had touched him. He got home and his wife, Jeanette, took one look at him. And she was used to him coming home dragging, but not today. What is up with you? And he said, Jeanette, Jesus touched me and I am healed. I believe it. Jim, before he sat down, called his doctor. I need to see you right away and I want you to start running tests. He said, Jim, we've already run the tests. You know what they are. Run them again. There's never been a doctor that would refuse testing again. So they did the whole battery of tests on Jim's blood. And they all came back. Perfect, 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 perfect. The doctor asked him, Jim. He said, I know what you're asking. I can only tell you, Jesus touched me. Could not be refuted. If you are receptive to the touch of Jesus, he doesn't just heal bodies, but he touches the whole person. That deaf person that Jesus put in, never again the same. It wasn't just that he could hear and speak. There was something going on inside. You see, the touch of Jesus is more than a bodily healing. It's more than mentally being not without fear. There's something, it goes much deeper than just something physical. Jesus touches the whole person when he touches them. He touches their body, touches their mind, he touches their soul and their spirit. Hallelujah. That's why we need to touch from Jesus today. If you're receptive to his touch, he'll touch you. He'll heal your mind. He'll deliver you from the garbage of your past. He will set you free from the bondages of the enemy. And he will cause you to think right. Oh, we need a touch of God again. Have you ever seen more failing Christians in your entire life? Christians who are failing. Have we ever heard of so many preachers being perverted? Have we ever heard of so many spiritual leaders ripping people off and not being accountable and stealing money from the ministry? Have we ever heard of such a thing? We need a touch of Jesus. Man's way won't get it done. We have failed time and time again. And you can roll out a new program, but it won't make a difference. Not one iota of a difference. What preachers need today is a heaven touch. We need Jesus to touch us. We need to get knocked down like Saul got knocked down. But when Jesus touched Saul on the road to Damascus, he was never again the same. Hallelujah.
Jim went on to be a wonderful man of God, if you're wondering. He took the gospel everywhere he went. He had this big fat Bible. He carried around everywhere he went. He spoke about Jesus. He went to the Philippines to speak about Jesus. He spoke to his old business partners about Jesus because Jesus had touched him. What we need in the pew today is the availability of the touch of Jesus. We don't need another slick sermon. We don't need some more music. We need the touch of Jesus. If you'd come, Tim, please. Does Jesus still touch people in the 21st century? Will he touch us today? Is he willing to touch us? He's looking for a people who say, I need your touch no matter what that means. If I got to quit my job because of your touch, I will quit my job. If I will get out of a relationship because of your touch, I will do that. I will do whatever you want me to do, but I need your touch. We've got too many people who want to be healed bodily, but they don't want the touch of Jesus. They don't want him to deal with the other stuff. And so we spin our wheels and spin our wheels. But the Holy Spirit would not have, the Holy Spirit first wouldn't give him dreams. He wouldn't have touched me if he didn't want to do something today. You might be here and you're not prepared for that rapture. That portal that Brother Jamie saw doesn't excite you because you're not ready. You need the touch of Jesus. There's others of you that have been battling this stuff for so long. You just need the touch of Jesus. When are you ever going to admit that you can't do it? He's got to do it. When are you going to shuffle your pride aside and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? In due time, He'll raise you up. How long are we going to suffer the way we've been suffering? And all the while, it's the touch of the Master that we need. Now this morning, I invite you to come. If you need the Master's touch, He wouldn't have me preach this message if he was going to refuse to touch you. Well, if you're willing to say, whatever it takes, Lord, for you to touch me, I desire your touch. I want you to touch all of me. I want you to touch my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit. All of me, Lord. I open up this altar area this morning. And I ask you to take that step of faith if that's you. Oh, I'll pray for you and with you. But it's the Master's touch that we need. Jesus Himself, by His Holy Spirit. Make your way up here. Don't look around and wonder if anybody else is going. If you're the only one, then the Lord must think highly of you. Other folks begin to pray.
Touch us once again with your glory.
Hallelujah.
Touch us once again with your mercy. your presence. Touch us once again with your